So we've been talking about the invisible war for the last, I think this will be the fifth session. Janine has scolded me. Let's get this over with. I'm in this war, and it's only intensified since you began to talk about these things. Today, we're going to talk about the forgotten armor. The forgotten armor. There's a lot of different things that Paul mentions in the armor, you know, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the sword, the shoes, all of those different things that we've covered, most of it. And I think this particular thing we're going to talk about today, the forgotten armor, is probably most overlooked as far as part of God's protection in our life. So let's talk about the forgotten armor. I just want to read verse 18. It says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, when I read this over this morning, and I was really convicted, because I realized my prayer life is not what it should be. It's not what it should be. And I don't know if that's just a common factor between all of us, but if I were to compare prayer to anxiety, okay, in a balance, worry would always win with me. It's just the nature of the beast itself. But yet, I have experienced the relief and the peace of God when I have been most prayerful. I mean, those times where you really tune in on prayer. You know what I'm talking about. There's times where it's drifty, times where you can pray a little bit and then it's the doorbell rings or interruptions, different things like that. But I have experienced great amount of peace when that prayerfulness has been in my life. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing. But I always forget this, and this particular thing is, you might say, prayer is the forgotten armor. It's the forgotten armor. We don't think of it in terms of armor at all, but he puts it in the same text or the same context as the full armor of God. It's easy to visualize, you know, a sword or a shield or a helmet, and, you know, Paul comparing those things to spiritual things, you know, the word of God, the sword, you know, being the word of God, the shield being faith. But it's, Paul connects everything to the physical, you know, faith, what, to the shield. You have the word to the sword, the helmet to salvation. But prayer, it's not connected in any necessary way in this particular chapter. It's not the tangible in the same sense. But I think the importance of prayer, and this is an easy way to measure prayer, is simply gauged by the prayer life of Jesus. Someone that didn't have to pray, I mean, when you think about it in terms of prayer itself, he was always praying, all the time. You know, listen to his words. He says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And, you know, that's the night he walked on the water altogether. Evening was come, he was there alone. And up early, we find out sometimes he's up way before the sun rises and then gets into the engagement of the day. He gets alone with the Father. He encouraged constant prayer. In Luke chapter 18, he says he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. So there's this prayer life of Jesus. I think that if anything that we could compare prayer to, it would be the life of Jesus. How about temptation? He says, you know, watch and pray that you, least you enter into temptation. He says, for, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And that. How about for your enemies? He says to pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you, those that persecute you different ways. You know, a lot of times we look at the lack of the harvest, and Jesus says, you know, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send people into the harvest altogether. So, and I think one of the highlights of prayer with Jesus himself is in chapters 14 through 17 of John, the Gospel of John. There's so many things in there. He prays for us. He prays for the apostles, and then he says, and those that believe on you guys, he prays for us. He prays that the Holy Spirit would come into our lives. He prays that, we would be kept spiritually safe in this world, and that he prays that we would pray in his name to receive. So there's a lot of instructions. If you get a chance, if you ever want to review something on prayer, chapters 14, 15, 16, 17 in the Gospel of John, amazing kind of thesis on prayer altogether. Prayer itself is the forgotten armor, and it should never be considered last resort. You guys have come across this. Things are falling apart all around. Well, we better pray. It should never be the last resort. It should be the first line in both the offense and the defense in our lives altogether. Today, I want to look at this forgotten armor, a forgotten piece of the armor, you might say. And I want to look at three different things: how to pray, perseverance in supplication in prayer, and then also directing, how we direct our supplications altogether. So first of all, how to pray. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, when I looked at that verse, it's so packed with instruction, you could make it into a series by itself. Verse 18 on the forgotten armor of prayer tells us the frequency of prayer. It tells us the variety of prayer. It tells us the manner of prayer, the focus of prayer, and the intensity of prayer. All in that one little verse, it says that. So how often should we pray? Pray always. That's the frequency of prayer. All the time. We should always be praying. I already mentioned Luke 18:1, where Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. We should be praying all the time. It should be part of our everyday vocabulary with the Lord. I mean, as you're going to work, as you're at work, when you're around people, when you're alone, when you're worshiping, when you're singing a song, when you're listening to the radio, all those things can be incorporated into prayer. You guys have always, it's happened in your life where prayer just comes naturally, and we know that that's by the Holy Spirit, that can happen. So how often? Always. We should always pray all the time. Now, prayer and supplications, it's kind of interesting if you look at those words. They seem like the same thing in the Scriptures, prayer and then supplication, but they're completely different in essence. They have that one thing in common, is that it's directed toward the Father, it's directed toward God, but prayer is defined more along the worship side, interacting with God in, you know, a worshipful manner. It could be praise, it could be adoration, it could be a thankful heart, something like that, or directing personal worship to God. It's kind of the fellowship part of prayer itself, where you're just adoring God altogether. Supplications are more the petitions of the heart, and I think that, you know, we know what that is, where we have just different needs, or people have different needs. Praying about a person, a circumstance, something that you desire of God or for God to change in your life, or to change a circumstance in your life or somebody else's life altogether. You know, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer makes that distinction. He says this when Jesus was instructed the disciples how to pray. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That would be the prayer part. You see, the worship part. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. You know, your will, your kingdom come, it's coming. Your will be done. So it's more of a worshipful time in prayer altogether. And that would be the prayer part direction, praise to God. But then you have the supplication in the next verse. It says, give us this day our daily bread. So you see that prayer and supplication. So how are we to do that, though? How the verse says, in the Spirit, in the Spirit. A lot of people get really funny when you talk about in the Spirit. I mean, we've probably seen some kind of wacky things in the Spirit. They're really not in the Spirit. They're usually in the flesh altogether. But the instructions here is prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I think one of the main things, Jesus told us, don't use vain repetitions, okay? You know, I was brought up in a religion that taught vain repetitions, to say, you know, this many that altogether. And Jesus really instructs us not to do those things. You know, vain repetitions impersonalizes prayer when you think about it. You're just repeating things over and over again, and it's not the way we are to direct to the Father. We're to pray in the Spirit. Jesus told us not to use vain repetitions. When we come before the Lord, what we need is what the Bible says, the helper, okay? The Holy Spirit is the helper. And you guys know the difference between trying to struggle through prayer or when the Holy Spirit is helping us pray. It's an amazing difference altogether. I like that term helper, though, because in prayer and supplications, we need all the help we can get to focus, because we know what it is. When you begin to get into prayer itself, it's easy to lose focus altogether. It's easy to wander. You get into a prayer meeting. I have been caught more than once falling asleep in a prayer meeting, you know, just losing focus altogether. So the truth is that we need to focus, and the only way we can truly focus on the Lord is with the help of the Holy Spirit. He says praying should always be in the Spirit and with the aid of the Spirit itself. That's what it is, in the Spirit. The Bible mentions that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to the Father. He intercedes to the Father for us altogether. He's the helper. He's the comforter altogether. And then he says, what manner, how should we pray? The type of prayer, he says, being watchful. Being watchful. Now that's, watchful of what? What should you be watchful of in prayer altogether? He says, being watchful to this end. That's kind of interesting. Now he's going to go back to the very beginning of our study of this, and the beginning altogether. He says this, finally, my brethren, this is back up to verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole point of the armor of God is to be watchful to this end, that we would be strong in the Lord, okay, when we put that armor on, and that would be also prayer, we put the armor on, that we would be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, that we can withstand, what, the trickery of the devil itself. So that's kind of the manner of prayer altogether, to be watchful, to be, you know, kind of on guard altogether. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, to be strong in the Lord altogether. Now, let me read it again. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, what about the intensity of prayer? There's this time where prayer becomes almost a warring battlefield. You guys know what I'm talking about, where you guns a-blazing, you know, the missiles exploding everywhere. You got minefields and hand grenades, and you're the target altogether. You got all that going on in your life altogether. But and the intensity there to pray during those periods of time. But the intensity that he promotes in this verse is not potency or even power. It's more determination and grit. That's what it is. Determination and grit. Perseverance with all, what? Perseverance. In other words, when you pray, you don't give up. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep praying. Jesus said that. He says, you know, that always pray and not to ever lose heart altogether. You guys remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? All of us here, well, maybe with the exception of the young ones here altogether. It's Aesop's Fables. He wrote this down millennia ago. The story concerns a rabbit who really ridicules a very slow-moving turtle, right? A real slow-moving turtle. And tired of the rabbit's arrogant behavior, the turtle finally says, look, let's race. We can race. We'll see who's better at this. And almost immediately, the rabbit just leaves him in the dust altogether. You know, we know the difference with that. But being overconfident, halfway through the race, the rabbit, what, decides to take a nap. He decides to fall asleep. Ah, I got plenty of time. Not a big problem. And when he awakes, he finds his competitor very slowly crawling over the finish line to win the race altogether. You know, there's a time where intensity is important, when you're really focused and you're really kind of praying hard. I mean, me and my wife the other night had kind of a prayer meeting like that, just really intense, some tense things happening, you know, around us altogether. And that intensity is so important, to be able to have that intensity in your life. But if we were to choose one over the other, power and potency over grit, perseverance wins all the time. It wins all the time. You know, I'd rather be the turtle than the rabbit in that case. I'd rather have that consistent prayer life, always persevering, never giving up, never losing heart, always trusting in God for the things that we're praying for. He says, if you pray in my name, you'll receive those things. And so we're to persevere. Perseverance by far is, to me, one of the most highly rated attributes of a Christian. Be able to, that grit, to be able to stand firm, and especially in prayer altogether. That steadfastness, that stamina, the longevity. You know, you can usually tell a true Christian from a fake Christian altogether is because they fall asleep halfway through the race. That's what happens. But the true Christian, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is that of the potency of perseverance in our walks altogether. So that longevity. Now, it's interesting. He isolates this type of prayer to supplication. He doesn't say, you know, when you read that again, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. And he says, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. He kind of isolates it, that type of prayer at the end, to supplications. That would be praying for things, praying for you, praying for me, praying for things, praying for circumstances, praying for jobs, praying for health, all those different things. So again, supplications being petitions, things that we need. The prayer list. When you write out a prayer list, it's usually more in terms of supplication, right? I mean, it's not often we put down, you know, we praise you, Father. Those are something that comes out of the heart. But when you have a prayer list, you usually have, I don't know if you guys keep prayer lists, but I occasionally do. And I usually have these needs on there. So supplications. Things that we write down. So what he's saying here is being persevering in our supplications in our life altogether. And then finally, directing our supplications. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications. And then he says, for the saints. For the saints. So directing, you know, the armor of God, you think about it, putting on your armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the sword, the shield, the feet, the shoes of the gospel all together, and then combining that with prayer. We're warring for our brothers and sisters. We're warring for them. We're the petitions for our brothers and sisters. You know, when speaking about the forgotten armor, prayer, looking at verse 18, is to where we direct our supplications. You know, supplications for all of the saints. That's for everyone. Those are the times where maybe you're just sitting there early in the morning and you're thinking about somebody and you just turn that thought into a petition for that person. We all, you know, we're fairly close here. We know our needs. We know the problems that we have in our life. I could just name off everything here today for everybody and have petitions for all of you guys. And I'm sure you could do the same for me altogether. You know, I have to say, there's something very liberating when we begin to pray for others. I don't know what it is. If you're anything like me, when you turn toward yourself, maybe you're praying for yourself. And that, it's okay to pray for yourself, don't get me wrong. But I have found out that the more I turn inward, the more problems I have. I don't know what it is. It's like you're just focusing on your own problems, and you know what it's like. But if you're anything like me, when you turn toward yourself, it just seems like you have more problems than you can ever handle. I mean, if I were to sit down and examine, and if you were to sit down and examine yourself today and think about all your problems, they're manifold. They're always there all the time. There might be other things, other people, your own personal problems, your job, your health, your money, all of those different things. And when I'm thinking about my needs, my shortcomings or my problems, somehow I feel really pressed in. It's kind of a weird thing. I feel real pressed in, almost boxed in. Like I said, it's not wrong to pray about your own needs. Jesus instructs us to. He says, you know, to cast your burdens to the Lord. He cares for us. He says, you know, give us this day our daily bread, all of those things. Forgive our sins. All of those things are really good. But I'll tell you what, if that's all you ever do, your life will be about depression and discouragement of yourself. It will be all the time. Now, it's good. Pray for yourself. Pray for your needs. But you got to move on and direct your supplications to others, because that's where the power kind of comes in. I don't know what it is. Is this just... for me? Is it just something that happens to me? But when I begin to think about others, I got some power, man. You know, I can believe more for you guys than I can for myself. You guys agree with that? I don't know what it is. Does your faith become more powerful when it's directed toward other people? Mine does. And there's something about believing for others that I cannot believe about myself. I don't know what. When I begin to direct it toward other people, my problems fall to the side, because the power rushes in when I'm in supplications toward others. It's kind of an amazing thing. You see, I can believe that God wants to do things for you because of his great love. Sometimes I cannot believe that for myself. I fall short on that. I already know what kind of clay I'm made out of, right? And all together. So you just know. You just know. And I know my problems. I know my repetition of problems, my sin in my life, the different things that I fight all the time. And sometimes I'm winning and sometimes I'm losing. So when I begin to direct my prayers to others, something very mystical and very magical spiritually happens. And it begins to build up my prayers like never before. They become very powerful. I don't know what it is. It's just something that I rise to the challenge. There's nothing more that makes me on fire. This is kind of a sad thing. It's when I see the needs of others. I don't know what it is. Is that something that's common to all of us? It might be. But when I begin to see the needs of others, those supplications go out like crazy. And it's a good thing. And when I see the needs of other people, I have no problem believing that God loves you and wants to help you. And he does the same for me. But if you guys pray for me, I'll be praying for you, right? That's what it is. We pray for each other. The supplication of the saints itself. Now, one last piece of information that's not mentioned in Ephesians, but it is mentioned in Philippians. I want to add to this before we close off this series. The forgotten armor, okay? Prayer, supplication, know, in the spirit, with perseverance. He says this in Philippians. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let in your requests be made known to God. He says, not worrying about what? Nothing. Don't worry about anything. You know, here's a license in the Bible for us not to worry about anything. Now, we don't always take that, but there's a license there. We have permission from God not to worry about anything. And then he says, everything in prayer and supplication. So you have nothing, but then you have everything. To everything you give to God altogether. And then he gives this one qualification that I think is critical to this forgotten armor, our prayer life itself. He says what? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It is vital to have that in your life. Thanksgiving is the verse, in that verse, is the faith portion altogether. Because we're giving thanks to God for something that maybe he hasn't even done yet. You have these petitions. But it's even more than that. It's kind of a mindset of being grateful to God in spite of the circumstances you're praying about. Usually we're praying about things that we need, so we're thanking God ahead of time for those things. But it's really a lifestyle. Thanksgiving, to me, is a lifestyle altogether. Let's face it, supplications are things that we need or things that others need or for things to change altogether. And when we season our prayer with our prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're in essence allowing contentment to take hold of our life even in times of need. It's kind of an oxymoron, right? You have needs, but you're content. With thanksgiving, because of thanksgiving altogether. Having a need and then being content all at the same time. You know, only in God's kingdom can we have true oxymorons altogether. Things that should be completely opposite, but they match perfectly because of the Holy Spirit. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he says, don't worry about anything. Give everything to God in prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. So let your requests be made known to God. So we've been talking about the forgotten armor. This is kind of the cap of the study altogether, the series. We looked at how to pray. We looked at perseverance and supplication, then how we direct our supplications all together. I want to read the entire section that we studied over the last 5 weeks. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'd be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's how we fight the invisible war. That's how we fight the invisible war.